Greetings from the Garden State is also sponsored by Albert & Whitney Certified Public Accountants in Denville, New Jersey. Are you spending your time tracking your business income and expenses or wasting hours on bookkeeping tasks that could be better spent doing what you do best? Wondering how to file your business payroll and sales tax and personal returns? Then it's probably time to consider giving Albert & Whitney a call. Albert & Whitney was formed in 2018 by two CPAs with over 50 years of combined experience. They can help you reach your business goals and meet your compliance with the ever-changing world of tax, payroll, and reporting requirements. Contact Albert & Whitney today for a no-obligation consultation at 908-217-3989 or go to awcpasllc.com. What's up, everybody? Mike Ham here with another episode of Greetings from the Garden State podcast. We're here at Daddy Maddie's Barbecue in Madison, New Jersey. We got Daddy Maddie himself, Matt James, here with us. Matt, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me. This is my first ever outdoor podcast, so this is going to maybe present some interesting challenges, but who could pass up this fence? This fence is phenomenal.
Well, the fence is great. The outdoor concept is something that we were always meaning to do as part of the restaurant.
Right.
And one of the few benefits of COVID is that it kicked us outside and it accelerated our need to finish off the space.
So, right. Which I think the space is awesome. And we're going to get into the type of stuff that you guys do back here. But I think it's so cool that, you know, like, that's the smoker right there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So you're cooking right there. People are eating out here. And I think it just kind of, it works well.
Absolutely. Well, we really have a lot of fun with it, and it allows us to be very interactive with our clientele, which during the first 6 to 8 months of COVID, it was sort of the opposite.
Right.
The hospitality business turned into the don't touch me, don't talk to me, leave it in my trunk business.
Right. I would pull up over here, and you would just kind of throw it through my passenger window.
Exactly.
I remember like that happened probably like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
You know, so I am a patron of Daddy Maddie's. I'll just put that out there, full disclosure, and it's phenomenal. So let's talk about your background.
Sure.
Perfect. There's a leaf blower going on now. This could not have been more perfectly timed out.
Should we
out.
Take our 5-minute break?
Let's take a 5-minute break.
Yeah. All right.
So after a brief leaf blower intermission, we're right back here. We haven't taken any breaks yet, but this was our first break. That's why there's now a quesadilla next to us, which I will eat in the ear of all of our listeners, obviously.
Yes.
Because it's so good.
Well, and we also, we try to bribe anybody who comes here to interview us so that we get, you know, the good word in.
Exactly. Of course. Yeah. No, I totally understand that. So we're going to talk about your background. So let's learn more about your background. Have you always been a barbecue guy, or is this something that's relatively new?
You know, it's funny. I've always been a cook. And not so much a chef, but a cook. And I was always a cook because it was cheaper to cook for girls in college than to take them on dates. And so I started with that as sort of a working thesis. And then as I've gotten older, I've loved to, you know, host parties and, you know, with my family in our backyard and so on and so forth. And I don't know, maybe about 10 years ago, I'm on a flight and this guy's just ranting and raving about the wonders of, you know, smoking food and all this stuff. And growing up in Colorado, that wasn't a super normal thing.
Yep.
But we did a lot of sort of hot barbecue, outdoor charcoal type of grilling, and I enjoyed it. So for about 3 years, I asked my wife on Father's Day for a smoker, and for 3 years, I got a tie. And on the fourth year, I went to, I grabbed my family and we went to a hardware store and I bought a smoker and I looked at them and I said, thank you. That was a very nice Father's Day gift.
I think that's
it right there.
The kettle one?
Yeah.
Okay.
The R2-D2 looking deal.
Yeah, right.
And so I started cooking food for the neighborhood and for friends and family. And after a while, somebody said, well, you know, you might want to look at catering. And I thought, that's a terrible idea, but, you know, it's on my bucket list, so let's give it a go. So I started catering for friends and family, but I didn't want to, on the one hand, charge too little so that I didn't know whether the food was any good.
Right.
And get into a business and have find out that everybody was just placating me.
Right. It's cheap, so we're going to get it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't want to charge, I felt badly about charging friends to be basically my test subjects. So the calculus that I sort of arrived at was I'll charge a premium so that I know that people are buying the food because they like it.
Yeah.
but I'll take anything above the cost of the food and donate it to the Interfaith Food Pantry up in Morristown.
Okay.
So after the first year of doing that, I ended up donating like $5,000 to the Interfaith Food Pantry, which is a testament to all of the people that helped me, you know, get started.
Yeah.
And that was, and it had that, you know, sort of give back element that I wanted this business to always have.
Right.
And so we've done various things with the food pantry and with other, we always sponsor a baseball team. We sponsor the Mountain Biking League. We just sponsored the suicide prevention walk. As the PTOs of all the schools know, I'm a never say no kind of guy.
Right.
And so we end up always trying to help them with whatever we can as well.
Yeah.
But while I was building this, I was still working at my day job, which is in finance.
Okay.
And so this became my, you know, for a good long while, my 80-hour-a-week side hustle.
Yeah. Yeah, which is interesting. It must be an interesting dynamic because, finance, you put that in your head, you're probably in a suit and tie, you know. And
yeah, this, when I needed to be, yeah.
Right, and this, you're dressed kind of like we are. Jeans, shorts, T-shirts, whatever, smelling like smoke. Because, I mean, I have my own smoker. I have a little pit barrel.
Yeah.
And so I make, you know, ribs and stuff like that in there. And I always smell. And I love it. Girlfriend hates it. But that's just that's me. I like it.
Yeah, when I first started in the house, it would, you know, when you're using these charcoal smokers, you know, you get to a point and you're just like, I'm too tired to stay up all night. And so I'd, you know, take whatever I was cooking, bring it in, put it in the oven, you know, at 200. And my wife just used to just be so aggrieved by that whole process. She's like, I get up every morning and it smells like meat. Come on. What's going on?
Right. The other thing, too, when you go down this path, you buy that first smoker. Did you just kind of like go headfirst into learning a lot?
Yeah.
Like, were there cookbooks? Were there?
No.
It was all just trial and error.
I mean, there was, you know, there's some YouTubing, there's some, you know, just trying to learn, you know, watching Aaron Franklin videos or whatever, how to trim a brisket, how to prep. But everything that I've done in barbecue is completely a function of trial and error.
Yeah.
And so, and anybody who's done barbecue seriously knows that, like, brisket is, like, the hardest thing to sort of master.
Still, I've never cooked a good brisket myself.
Yeah. So, and I burned a lot of briskets and made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
It's just part of the process.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the reason you don't see a lot of chain barbecue places is that it takes just so much passion and so much attention.
Right.
And there's not really a way to replicate that en masse and you know, sort of take out the possibility for error.
Right. And I feel like the chain barbecue type places are the ones that you don't really want to eat at anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
That's why I like places like this, because it's like, you know who's cooking it.
It's
you're right here.
Yeah.
I can see you.
Unless you don't like it, and then it's not me.
Right. Well, that's what I was telling Alex, your social media manager, before, in full disclosure, and we're going to get real here for a second. When I first came here, I was not a fan.
Yeah.
Then I think you guys closed for a couple months. I think it was like maybe either right before COVID or during COVID or something.
Yeah, it was right before COVID, yeah.
And I remember this was the first place that I went to for takeout, like, during COVID.
Yeah.
And I just, like I said before, you threw it through my driver's or my passenger side window.
Yeah.
I took it home and I was just like blown away. I'm like, this place is awesome now. And it was just like, you know, everything was so good. I got like the sampler because I just wanted to try everything because that's just me and I'm, you know, a heavy set fellow. But yeah, so I mean, that's that just, you know, as a kudos to you. I mean, I think that the quality of the stuff, I mean, we're eating it right here. You could see it on the video right there. I mean, it's off the charts. I mean, I think it's so good.
I appreciate that. And you know, I mean, in all candor, we started this restaurant in 2018 sort of by accident.
Yeah.
So we moved into this site where we are right now. We thought that we were just going to be catering and subletting a kitchen from another restaurant.
Yeah.
And the other restaurant decided not to go forward. And by that time, we were sort of, as they say, half pregnant.
Right.
So we tried for a while to just do events and catering, but it's just so lumpy, it was hard to maintain a staff.
Right.
And so about May of 2018, as they say, we accidentally opened. I was actually at a pig roast offsite, and my business partner at the time was here, and somebody came in the door, and, you know, we had it set up for an event, so there were tables and chairs and everything. And that person came in and they said, oh, do you mind if we just eat here? And, you know, the answer when you're a small business is always yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you'll figure it out. Yeah.
So, right. So, anyway, while I was away at this pig roast, she ended up, you know, basically selling all the food in the house, and the place was full all day.
Yeah.
And we had no capacity, no understanding how to run a restaurant at that point. You know, so, you know, I remember pulling up, and she was standing on the back porch here, just exhausted. And I'm like, what's up?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, we accidentally opened. So that was sort of how we started. And
right.
then when we first started, I was real concerned about getting the food right. I mean, always am concerned about that. But
sure.
getting the food right, making it consistent, making sure that the customer experience was good. So when we opened, it was sort of like, shh, we're open.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know,
you don't want to be inundated with people and not be able to handle it.
And social media is so powerful these days.
Yeah.
You know, you get a few people that come in and give you bad reviews. And at that time, I think since COVID, people are more cognizant of the reviews they give and less capricious about them.
Yeah.
But certainly in 2018, 2019, they were not.
Right.
And, I thought, let's just try to do our best.
Yeah.
And then we'll try to figure out the money thing after that.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of, like, professional restaurateurs go, no, that's backwards.
Yeah.
And they're probably right.
Yeah.
But so to get back to your point about 2019, that business partner decided to go do something else. And I went through sort of a series of management in 2019 trying to figure things out. And by the end of 2019, I was completely burned out.
Yeah.
And I closed.
Yep.
I remember Thanksgiving that year was so miserable for me. And I got up the next morning and I'm like, this isn't why I'm in this. So if I don't want to do it, you know, I'm a grown up, then don't do it. And so I did. I closed in right after Thanksgiving in 2019. And then another friend of mine said that she would come on and sort of help me get things back off the, you know.
When you closed that first time, was it with the intention that you were going to be just, like, done, time to figure it out, or was the intention to try to, like, rework some
everything,
stuff?
Everything was on the table.
Okay.
Everything was on the table.
Yeah.
You know, part of it was maybe I just walk away, you know, cut my losses. Hey, I did it.
Yeah.
But I still didn't feel like we'd gotten to a point of potential where I felt like we had done our best.
Right.
Or where I had done my best. I always tend to put things in the royal we.
Yeah.
And so when we closed, I just sort of allowed myself to say, all right, do I just want to go back to finance and just do that?
Yeah.
And, you know, my kids were older at that time. The nice thing about being in a small community and being able to work remotely, I wasn't working in New York City anymore, was that I got to be a dad. I got to coach baseball. I got to be the head of the Cub Scouts, all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And my kids by that time were sort of out of that.
Right.
And so I thought, you know, I have the time to do this. Do I think I can do it well? And more importantly, do I think I can find the right people to come and help me do it?
Yeah.
And luckily a person, I think luckily, we'll see, you know, a person walked through the door at that moment and she agreed to come on and help me. Now she has since gone, with no acrimony. She decided to go be a mom.
Okay.
And, so that's what she's doing. We actually spoke earlier today.
Right.
So,
awesome.
In any event, it really helped me get my head back around what we needed to be doing.
Right.
And ironically, we were going to reopen the restaurant in April of 2020, and then COVID hit, and
right, kind of put the
everything,
you know,
was in
kibosh
the air
on that for a little bit. At
everything
least.
Was in the air.
Yeah, and so just so people that are listening that may not be familiar with the menu, what are some things that you offer? Like, what are like your staples?
Yeah, so we do. So we started as a traditional barbecue place, but being from Colorado, that tradition isn't, you know, say North Carolina or Texas or whatever. We sort of call it vagabond style because I've sort of banged around all over the world, and so it's got influence. That are different. All the recipes are ours. Everything here is homemade. We do all the barbecue staples, brisket, pulled pork, baby back ribs, smoked turkey, smoked sausage, pulled chicken. But then being from Colorado and being, you know, out here on the East Coast, there's a dearth of really good, you know, sort of Mexican style food.
Yeah.
And I would always just cook it for my family at home because we couldn't go and get it anywhere.
Right.
And so we also introduced sort of a whole section of the menu that's sort of Mexican inspired.
Yeah.
Yeah, Colorado style Mexican inspired is what we call it.
Right.
So we do But it's still got that barbecue theme. So we do like brisket burritos, brisket chimichangas, pulled pork tacos on Navajo fry bread.
Okay.
And chili rellenos that are stuffed hatch green chilies that we actually get sent to us. We get about 25 pounds a month of hatch green chilies sent to us from New Mexico every month.
Awesome.
And so we make the pork green chili with that, which is our stew, and then our chili rellenos as well. And we're probably looking to expand that menu a little bit. I don't want to get too far all over the place.
Yeah.
And I like to cook a lot of things. And when we cater, I always tell customers, if I think I can cook it well, then I'll do it, even if it's not on the menu.
Right.
But for the restaurant, I think we've got to have some consistency. So it's sort of barbecue-infused Mexican with sort of a Colorado twist.
Yeah.
And then more traditional barbecue, albeit my tradition.
Daddy Matty style.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Daddy Matty style.
Exactly.
That's awesome. All right. Sweet. So we've gone a little bit longer than this first segment than I thought we were going to, which is fine. So we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
We're here at Daddy Matty's Barbecue in Madison, New Jersey. I'm Mike Hamm. This is the Greetings from the Garden State podcast. We're here with Daddy Matty himself, Matt James. We'll be right back. It is time for Today in New Jersey History. On November 22nd, 1950, Stephen Van Zandt was born in Massachusetts, and from the age of 7, was raised in Middletown, New Jersey. He co-founded Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes prior to joining Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. Plus, who can forget his solo career with Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul, his XM radio station, and his roles as Silvio Dante in The Sopranos and Frank Tagliano on Lilyhammer. And that is Today in New Jersey History. All right, welcome back to the Greetings from the Garden State podcast. I'm Mike Hamm. We're here with Daddy Matty, Matt James, here at Daddy Matty's Barbecue in Madison, New Jersey. So we kind of got a background on you. We got a background on the restaurant, kind of how you got to where you are today. We're sitting here with me in your backyard of your restaurant with this cool fence on this red picnic table. Everything's so cool. I'm very excited to be here, if you can't tell. But you do some things that go beyond just cooking barbecue. So like every time I go on Instagram, I see events coming up or events that, you know, for whatever reason, I can't make it, but I want to, which, you know, the barbecue competition, I will come next year and I will win it. You heard it here first.
My competition team might think differently, but that's okay.
I don't care. I'm taking everybody down. So let's talk about some of those events that you do, just to kind of maybe connect more with the community or kind of add some different stuff to maybe just being like a traditional, we do barbecue and that's it.
Sure. So when I started this, because it was my side hustle, I wanted it to be mission driven as much as it's food driven.
Yeah.
And so as I mentioned, I think in the intro, we've done stuff with the food pantry and various other organizations around town to try to be helpful. But the other thing that we wanted to do is try to make this a fun place to be. And so we thought there are good opportunities to throw basically a party, but have them, you know, sort of be themed parties. So every year we do Mardi Gras, for instance. And I did a lot of work in New Orleans in my day job after Hurricane Katrina, financing projects for rebuilding the Gulf Coast. And so as a person who had to spend a lot of time in New Orleans, I love the food, and I love to cook the food. So once a year we do a Mardi Gras. You mentioned the barbecue competition. We've held 4 competitions total since we opened, and basically it's just an open.
Yeah.
We just throw it out to anybody who wants to come and cook with us.
Right.
And we get community members to come and be our, be the judges for the competition.
Yeah.
We give away little prizes. We provide, you know, some of the food to the competitors so that they don't have to incur the cost.
Yep.
And then we just provide a forum for everybody to just have fun.
Yeah.
We've had, every year we've done it, we've had competition, like KCBS competition style teams that have showed up.
Yeah.
As well as just backyard, you know,
guys
who just want to throw down and have fun and, you know,
drink
some bourbon, listen to some music.
I would be in that camp for sure.
But. Yeah. As that's where I started. So
Yeah.
It's the only thing between a professional and a not professional is just time.
Yeah, exactly.
If you got time to do it, then
right.
do it.
Yeah. So was that something that, I know you said that that was the mindset at the beginning, but were you doing those types of things when you first opened, or was it because you were trying to manage the business so much that maybe those kind of things kind of took a back seat to making sure that the food and the quality and the connection with the customers was good?
We always tried to throw special events. You know, we've done Mardi Gras, I think, every year since we've opened. We've done, we do probably a twice a year blues and bourbon tasting event here. As an example, that's always gone over really well. I think we've sold out every year. We try to sort of keep things interesting. And so there's not a lot of variety in New Jersey when it comes to, you know, sort of events and things. And so right. we think that that's something that's additive to our business. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Candidly.
Right. Especially, like, I feel, you know, as we kind of pull through the last couple of years, and now we're here and you're doing stuff outside. I mean, there's so many places that do outside dining.
Yeah.
But like, how do you separate yourself from everybody else that's doing outside dining? I mean, every time I turn on Instagram, there's an Instagram live from Daddy Maddie's Instagram account with live music going on. It feels like every single day that I turn it on, there's somebody here playing something.
Yeah.
Whether it's an open mic night, whether it's a band, whether it's a whatever, there's always something going on here, which I think is awesome.
Music has been a real theme for those of us, or for those of my customers that were here before we closed in 2019. We had, you know, one of the walls in the restaurant was just albums. And, you know, we've been musically focused since the beginning. Also in 2019, we did a music fest. Where we invited local bands, and I think we got 11 bands total to come play from like 1 p.m. till 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And those are the types of things that I find fun.
Yeah.
And I always want people to think it, when they come and sit down here, that they've basically come to my house.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the same sort of vibe that I want to be giving. You're here. You're not at some, you know, stuffy restaurant, which I don't think we could pull off anyway. But, yeah. But
I don't think that this checks out as far as a stuffy restaurant.
White tablecloths would look a little out of place.
Yeah, right.
But,
but crystal stemware, stuff that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
But the the idea is like, you know, if you didn't necessarily know me, but you know, you came to a party at my house, and you know, there's that sort of vibe, and all the staff that works here, super friendly. It's probably a bigger condition to working here to be super friendly than it is to have a ton of experience.
Right. So talk to me also about, you know, maybe in doing these events and you being here all the time because you're the one that's running the smoker and doing all that kind of stuff. How important it is, you know, do you start developing relationships with people that are customers and that are coming in quite frequently? So talk to me about the importance of that. And have you noticed a change kind of over time? Like the more you've been here, the more you've been doing different things. Has that increased your visibility as the business owner here?
I think so. I mean, it's hard to understand, you know, sort of word of mouth marketing. Other than to just, you know, it's almost by definition hard to, you know, to
just
measure.
Just don't question it and just go for it. Yeah.
Where we do find it, though, is I remember we run an open mic here, and we have almost since the start. And during COVID, we had to close it down. Just wasn't safe. Couldn't do it. And the first night that we reopened the open mic, I think we had everybody show up. Everybody that had played the open mic for, you know, like the 2 years prior. And it was, I remember coming and sitting, and I was listening to one of the players play, and they started singing Take Me Home by John Denver. And I'm sitting sort of towards the front near the stage, and all of a sudden I hear the entire crowd singing, like the whole restaurant singing. And I thought, that's fun.
That's definitely, you know. Resonates, for sure.
Yeah, and it wasn't just a bunch of drunks, you know, like, singing New York, New York as they're getting ushered out the back door of the bar, you know. So it was pretty cool.
No, it's very cool. So, you know, what are some other ways maybe like that you think the business itself kind of maybe looking forward? Are there things, you know, aside from maybe, you know, tweaking menu type stuff, are there things that you're trying to do, maybe accomplish, to kind of keep the business evolving and moving forward in the right direction?
Yeah, it's always the challenge. One of the things that we're taking on in the next, and we hope to have fully launched in the next month, is a program called AirBBQ, which is our mail order barbecue business.
Okay.
And we're hoping to have that up and running and available so that we can increase our footprint from just the 5 or 10 towns that are, you know, near enough to want to come here to the restaurant, to basically a national footprint where if you wanted to send barbecue to your cousin, you know, for his birthday or something, you know, we have it nicely packaged, vacuum sealed, ready to go, and try to develop that business as well. We have thought about expansion. The challenge with expansion, I mean, now the challenge with expansion is people. It's really hard to find good people.
I'm pretty sure every single, you know, every single business that we've talked to so far on this show, I think I've said this is going to be episode 9, you know, has had this a similar problem, you know, because it's obviously something that's a glaring issue with a lot of stuff that we're talking about, particularly in the service industry like you're in.
I think, and I think that that's a residual from how poorly the service industry was treated prior to COVID. You know, I mean, if you're being paid starvation wage, when COVID comes and, you know, and then you go back to thinking about what do you want to be when you grow up, like starvation wage is probably not top of the list.
No.
And so that's one of the things that we've tried to do is to try to pay people fairly, try to recognize them when we can. But, you know, and it's the restaurant business, too. And owners like me will also say it's a tight business in terms of margins. And and so that's one of the reasons that we've tried to innovate around different things, having these events. You know, we have a big catering business as well. And, you know, I mean, that business ran to zero during COVID. Because, you know, I mean, there's the only thing you couldn't do during COVID is have a party. So, you know, that's been recovering, which has been good for us. And I think for the community as well. But, you know, that's a business that will continue to evolve. And it's, you know, it's interesting. I don't know. I play around with the idea of opening another restaurant. But funnily enough, I think that I'm not sure that I would open another barbecue restaurant. I think it'd be hard to replicate this feel. I think it's hard to replicate the, I you know, I'll call it passion, but that's just for lack of a better word. For cooking the, you know, this type of food. You know, you can't just invite somebody in and just be like, do this.
Cook this for 15 hours sometimes.
Well, I remember I had a manager a couple of years ago who was convinced that, you know, she said, this is easy. How hard can it be? All you do is put it on the smoker and walk away and come back. And so I was away. I don't know if I had the day off or if I was at an event or whatever. And she went to go cook, you know, and at that time we were using all these R2-D2. We had 5 of those lined up out here. And so she loaded them up with ribs. So she had 18 racks of ribs on those things. And she incinerated all 18 racks. And it was, you know. And then she's like, I'm not cooking. I'm not going to do this anymore. A funny example. I mean, and that's the thing is you gotta take all this stuff with, you know, in stride. It's just funny, you know. You know, have fun with it. If you're not having fun with it, then why are you doing it?
All right. All right. So I think that was a perfect way to kind of segue into our next segment. So we're going to take our second break, our last break of this episode. This is the Greetings from the Garden State podcast. I'm Mike Hamm. We're here at Daddy Maddie's Barbecue with Matt James here in Madison, New Jersey. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It is time for your New Jersey fun fact of the day. Did you know that New Jersey is home to more diners than any other state in the country? And that is your New Jersey fun fact of the day. All right, what's up, everybody? We're back here at the Greetings from the Garden State podcast. We're here at Daddy Maddie's Barbecue in Madison, New Jersey. I'm Mike Hamm. He's Matt James. We're here. We've been talking about the background of Daddy Maddie's. We've been talking about how you guys got here. We've just kind of gone through some different events that you guys do hold here, whether it's live music. There's a bee flying around us. But, you know, we're pros, so we're going to just we're gonna power through unless it stings me, and then I'm going to cry. this is our first ever. This is our first ever outdoor episode. So you got it. I mean, we had a leaf blower at the beginning. We got a bee here as we're trying to get here to the home stretch and finish this thing up. One of the things that we always like to do on this show is because this is a, you know, the Greetings from the Garden State, so it's a New Jersey focused podcast. So one of the things that we always like to do is talk about the, you know, businesses and the people that we have on, how they're connecting with the community that they're in. So we're here in Madison, New Jersey, and we've already kind of touched on a couple of those things that you guys do here. But I'd love to know, like, a little bit more about the different types of, you mentioned the Little League team and the mountain biking team. So you want to talk about that real quick, and then we'll kind of get into some more of the deeper stuff that you guys do here.
I mean, you know, we So just as a, you know, sort of helicopter up for a moment. So my wife and I are from Colorado, and whenever we go back to Colorado, everybody says, and even everybody out here says, aren't you guys backwards? Aren't you supposed to go from New Jersey to Colorado? And isn't it, you know, isn't that the isn't that the natural progression?
Yeah.
And, you know, having grown up there, my wife and I, we both say no. Now, we spend an ample amount of time back in Colorado seeing family and friends, and it's really nice and all that. But the community that we've been able to develop here in New Jersey is a different is different. A lot of people, I don't think, in the country really understand New Jersey, and not just because, you know, of the Taylor ham pork roll thing, but but also just that New Jersey is actually like a billion little towns. And so, you know, little, you know, we call this town Mayberry, for lack of a better way to, you know, characterize it.
Yeah.
And we've raised our kids here, and it's got just a different feel than where she and I grew up in Denver, which is actually a big city relative to what we have.
Yeah.
So when we started this business, one of the things that I wanted to really make central to the DNA of it is this sort of giving back to the community culture. And that ranges from, you know, little things like you mentioned, like, you know, sponsoring a little league team, or, you know, we sponsored the local mountain biking team. And I told them, because of the placement of where my logo is, that they need to win because the logo is on the butt of the uniform, and it says Daddy Maddie smoking butts. And you know, and I'm like, I'm not going to get any, you know, value out of this if you guys are, you know, coming in last. You got to be winning.
Yeah, you got to lead the pack.
Everybody's got to be looking.
100%.
But beyond that, you know, I think I mentioned, you know, we've done a lot of work with the food pantry, and constantly try to support their efforts, and the importance of what they do in the community just can't be overstated.
Yeah.
And that's Morris County Interfaith Food Pantry. But beyond that, we've also, you know, during the pandemic, there was a local group that I'm sure a lot of the listeners have heard of or participated in called FLAG, which is a frontline appreciation group. And they reached out to us real early on when the pandemic started, to have us, you know, provide meals to health workers, specifically at Morristown Hospital.
Yep.
And over the course of the pandemic, you know, the really deep, dark portion of the pandemic, we ended up running over 1,000 meals up to the folks at Morristown Hospital. And, you know, from the first days that we were there, where it just felt like things were out of control, until, you know, one of the last deliveries, which was we delivered 80 meals for Thanksgiving, you know, a year ago Thanksgiving.
Right.
I just, you know, my admiration and appreciation for the people that were in the soup there. You know, just can't be overstated.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were so happy to be able to participate and help those folks out while they were helping us out.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's so cool. And, you know, what I also noticed early in our the first segment, when we were talking about when you were kind of using your friends as test subjects and charging and doing different things like that, I mean, the Interfaith Food Pantry was, like, immediate. Like, that was, like, one of the first things that you were doing.
Absolutely.
Donating back to that. So has that been something that's been important to you even before you started Daddy Maddie's? Or is that something that, like, as you got into this community, you were like, this is my way of giving back to people?
I think that I think charity and the notion of charity has always been important to me and to my family. And I mean, by that, I mean, like, my father, my mother, my, you know, my immediate family here. We really, I think, believe in the notion of trying to help local groups do the work that, you know, that either government isn't doing or people aren't doing, or, you know, somebody's having a hard time, they're having a hard time.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that really was formative in terms of my thinking about that particular concept in the context of New Jersey, when my third son was born, about 3 months into it, he developed a case of RSV, which is a pretty serious respiratory virus, and was hospitalized.
Yeah.
And my wife spent 2 weeks in the hospital with him. Simultaneously, my older two sons got pneumonia. And so, we were just in it, man.
Right, yeah.
And I had been working in New York City, which is to say I knew nothing of the community at that point because, you know, my touch points in the community were really, you know, every now and then a Little League game that I could attend. And all of a sudden, meals just started showing up on our doorstep. And one of the moms from the elementary school got wind of the fact that, you know, we were going through a bit of a tough time.
Right.
And I don't think I cooked a meal for about a week and a half.
Yeah.
And it so touched me, the notion of that level of community.
Yeah.
That I thought that's something that I want to make part and parcel to anything that I create, you know, from henceforth.
Right.
And so, yeah, it is important, but it is part of really the DNA of this particular entity.
Yeah.
And so we've tried to live that out as much as we can. You know, sometimes it's tough.
Yeah, 100%. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we recently sponsored, amongst others, the suicide prevention walk.
Yeah, I wanted to get to that next, definitely. Yeah.
And the gentleman who came to us for that was a retired policeman. And you and I were just talking.
Right.
You know, I don't, thankfully, have a lot of experience with having gone through, you know, or having to deal with suicide.
Yeah.
But this gentleman was explaining to me just the number of people in his immediate family who had committed suicide, who were former policemen and first responders. And I just thought, you know, this is something that's not being talked enough about. And the least we can do is to try to contribute to the conversation.
Right. Right. Yeah. And 100%. And I think that is a fantastic, you know, thing, because I think that especially now, you know, I mean, it must be an interesting, you know, dynamic too, because you're trying to run a business, you're trying to stay afloat, and you also want to give back to the community. So it's like that almost like that give and take type of thing.
Absolutely.
But I feel like this is just one of those instances where, and you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I've always been a firm believer that the more good that you try to put out into the world, the more good eventually comes back to you. And not that you're doing it for that particular reason, but you just start to surround yourself with people that you vibe with.
I think that's a very, very good way to think about it. And it's very, very much along the lines that I do as well.
Right.
I forget the author's name. I think it was the guy who wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Robert Kiyosaki.
Yeah. And so in that book, he actually says, you know, when you run out of ideas, give.
Yeah.
And, you know, irrespective of what and why and whatever. And I find myself in that same position. I'm a believer, and I probably get it all wrong for people who actually know about this stuff, but, you know, of what I'll loosely call karma, which is, like you said, what you put out, you'll get back in some form or fashion.
Right.
And to me, it's never been that important that there be a one-to-one relationship between giving and receiving.
Yeah.
It's if I give something out into the community that helps somebody, and then they're able to then go on to become the person that they can be, that doesn't need to come back somehow to me.
That's right.
The giving is the part that is already coming back to
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Right.
So that's and that's, you know, when we were approached in the height of COVID by the Calvary Baptist Church in Morristown to help participate in their lunches program. It was a free lunch program.
Yep.
And we ended up donating about 1,000 lunches over the course of the program just to folks who needed lunch.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, and the answer to why is 'cause we should.
Right, exactly. And, you know, and I think that's tremendous. And that's what I think I the more that I've kind of seen, you know, like I said, stuff on Instagram, eat and hear more, and like the more that it's been, you know, visualized to me, the more I've realized like that this particular business, and not that, you know, it's the only one, and there are plenty that this, but that it just goes beyond just like, hey, come eat my food because I'm trying to make money and, you know, feed my own family, but you're trying to do way more than that. And I would think that maybe might lend itself to, you know, just having more success because people feel good about supporting businesses like yourself that are supporting other people that may be disadvantaged or whatever, you know, whatever you're trying to help out.
A lot of what I did in my day job was around, so I was in finance, and my specialty was in affordable housing, community development, and renewable energy project finance. And a lot of that's really like big, high, you know, high level, high, you know, higher level thinking, help whole, you know, swaths of the country type of thinking. And
right.
with this business, what I thought was, instead of trying to change the world, why don't we just try to contribute to our community?
Yeah.
Just this community.
Right.
And if we can make this community just a little bit better, then maybe this community can contribute to the next community, and maybe it has a little bit more of a knock-on effect.
Right.
And so that was part of the thinking, is to, you know, sort of take this high-level stuff that I've been doing for the last 25 years and really try to knock it down to something that was more practical on a community to community level.
Right.
Can't change the world. Like, you know, I mean, there are people that are like Jose Andres and the World Central Kitchen is just the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But I'm not there yet. And so what I can do is I can try to contribute a couple meals to, you know, people who need it, or, you know, try to support local organizations that are in turn supporting, you know, whatever they're doing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. No, phenomenal. So I think also, you know, as we kind of progress through here, the one thing that maybe the last question that I have is, does the Everybody Eats catchphrase, like, you know, slogan, is that ties into what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. It's a friend of mine actually was the one who came up with it. I was going to do, so when I first started, before I had even identified the food pantry as being one of the benefactors, I wanted to do a give one, get one program. So let's say you came to me when I was starting and wanted to order dinner for your family.
Right.
I'd say, okay, great. I'm going to charge more, but with that more, I'm going to then make a dinner for somebody else who's in need.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be this very, you know, one-to-one kind of relationship.
Sure.
And over the course of doing the research for that, and ultimately why I ended up with the Morris County Food Pantry as the beneficiary, is that there's no way to do that within the current health laws and health codes and all this stuff.
Right.
You know, you can't go to a hospital and say who's hurting. You can't go to a church and say who's hurting.
Yep.
I mean, they can't tell you, and they shouldn't.
Right.
But so there's no way for me to be able to say, okay, well, I'm going to show up and be this benevolent person who's going to leave this meal on your doorstep because, you know. And so we went from the give one, get one to, okay, well, now we need to sort of be thinking more along community-based lines.
And
a good friend of mine, Rich, said, everybody eats, man.
Yeah. Right.
So
awesome. Yeah. Well, it's just great that, and the community, it ties right back into the community, your friend, the whole thing. Everybody eats. Love it. Phenomenal. This episode has been off the charts. So before we let you go back to, you know, to cooking and doing all the stuff that you have to do, running your business, let's hit the people if they want to know more, learn more. So what's the website? What's the Instagram handle? Let's hit them with that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So it's Instagram is, at Daddy Matty's, and it's MATTY. A lot of people think it's DD because we're in Madison, but it's everywhere I've lived for as long as I've lived, which is, you know, as of today, 50 years.
Right. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
29.
Yeah,
you know,
29 again. 21st anniversary of my 29th. So I've always become Matty in any context, whether it's grad school, whether it's living overseas, whether it's whatever. I've always been Matty. So it's DaddyMattysBBQ.com or at DaddyMattysBBQ. We're located in Madison, New Jersey at 6 Elmer Street, which is one block long.
Oh.
Because in Madison, they like to change the names of the streets every
other.
They
have a lot of names to use. Yeah. They probably, yeah.
but we're just behind Main Street, just off the main drag. And we've got a nice big backyard.
Yep.
And
stuff going on all the time, like we talked about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, the online ordering, like you guys have the online ordering system too and everything like that.
Yeah, so you can online order through our website. If you're looking for catering, we've got our catering manager who's here during the days. We're open right now, and I expect for the foreseeable future during the week for dinner and carry out, and during the weekends for lunch and dinner and carry out.
Awesome. And I can attest because I just crushed this whole pulled pork quesadilla during this episode. So it's the first time I've actually eaten during an episode, but hey, everybody eats, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Not just, you know, everybody, you know, that comes here, but the host too. So, but yeah, so this has been phenomenal. I'll make sure that I put those links and the address in the show notes for everybody listening. Matt, thank you so much for doing this with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It was great coming here. I was like so excited when, you know, we started getting these conversations rolling, and then, you know, I mean, how could you beat this?
I know. We got the perfect day for it too.
Perfect day. We had a little bit of a, you know, hiccup at the beginning with the leaf blower, and towards the end, I was a little bit worried about that bee. But, you know, we made it through, you know, we prospered, you know, we persevered. We
persevered. Yeah.
So phenomenal. Awesome. So I almost said Daddy Matty. Matt, thank you again for doing this.
My pleasure.
Everybody else, thank you for listening. And we will catch you next time.